This is Don Tuttle. When you did your analysis of the risk area for the firm, how did you quantify that, or did you quantify that? And if so, what meaning did that have?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the last part.
Did you quantify the risk segment of your analyses? And if so, what was the meaning of that?
One way that we quantified it is with the sensitivity analysis on our valuation. So a big portion of NJR's earnings comes from the regulated utility, and we're assuming a lower growth rate than what management is giving as their guidance. So if you remember, we have a sensitivity table where a higher growth rate would lead to a higher projected EPS, and that would lead to a potentially higher share price.
Another risk in our valuation is, since this is a regulated utility company, it's difficult to understand or to even know the return on equity that they receive for the regulated division. So to help mitigate that risk and our misunderstanding, we did a sum of the parts valuation where we applied the 14 times the PE ratio to the regulated segment, which hopefully can lead us to a more accurate valuation, not knowing that risk.
Did you try to segment the parts of the business that are in the traditional gas utility distribution area and those that they've tried to diversify into?
We did not. We just did a simple regulated segment, and we also did the unregulated segment, which had the 11 times EBITDA ratio. And we did that because, yes, they're expanding to these different sectors and areas, but other utility companies have the same opportunity to do so as well. And the EV to EBITDA ratio allows us to compare to other companies who might be going elsewhere and distributing their business on an apples-to-apples basis.
I must add that some of the risks, and some of you might think what happened if the price of natural gas will go higher. I also did a correlation between the price of natural gas, which might affect mostly the unregulated part, because they trade on gas. But as a whole, in the company, it does not change much the picture, even if prices of natural gas were to go much higher, which might happen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can you tell me why, in your valuation overview, you equally weighted the three different methodologies for valuation?
Yes. Each method, we feel, has an equal weight. We spoke with one analyst who we reached out to, and he said that he just simply does his valuation of utility companies based on PE comparable analysis and does not do discounted cash flow or sum of the parts at all. The discounted cash flow valuation enables us to include our assumptions that we see the unregulated segment of NJR declining, so we were able to make those assumptions in our operating assumptions of the DCF model, and that also enabled us to do an EPS forecast as well. And then the sum of the parts simply acknowledges that we have two divisions here that are in totally different. One division, the regulated segment, has a return on equity, which is that it cannot be compared to other companies and is independent to NJR. And then the unregulated segment, which they could grow or can decrease in terms of profitability as much as the market enables it to.
I must add, we also visited the buyers, the largest buyers of the company, holders of the company, institutions, and they actually agree with some of the parts and the dividing up the valuation the way we did.
I wanted to ask about corporate governance, and most especially, in your opinion, is compensation and the incentives to management, are they properly aligned with shareholder incentives?
Yeah, we actually did some analysis of the ownership from the individuals who are running the company, and I believe it was less than 1%. So we actually do not feel that management is in line with the growth of the company. That was actually a very big red flag that jumped out at us.
Also, to follow up on that, I mean, with this company, we did visit the regulator, and when we asked the regulator about the management of the company, because the management has boasted that they have an excellent relationship with the regulator, we immediately wanted to check that out. And they said that from their point of view, as a regulated natural gas distributor in the state of New Jersey, they do act ethically, they do things that are in the interest of preserving their infrastructure and their distribution center to the customers. So from that aspect, that part is fine. Again, yes, the 1% ownership was a trouble, and the fact that they're making some decisions that go into going into more risky, more low-quality earning segments is a red flag for the management's decision-making.
This is a good time to reiterate that we don't feel this is a bad company per se, but it's overvalued because of the additional risk they're taking as a utility. And that's where we disagree with management. They have a good track record over the last 10, 20 years, but where they are now is an inflection point, where they're putting on too much risk to shareholders, and we feel that it's unjustified.
How large is the total market cap of the company? What is the average trading volume?
It's $1.8 billion.
What is the average trading volume every day?
It's about 170,000 a day.
You mentioned a red flag being the fact that accounts receivable have begun to increase. Given the economic environment over the last couple of years, I don't find that fact that surprising. I guess, did you look at comparable increases in accounts receivable over comparable companies? Was it unusually high vis-a-vis other companies, or is it just a result of the economic environment? I mean, I assume all companies' accounts receivable may have gone up during that period.
What's interesting with NJR is that every company had that happen in 2008, but when we looked at comps, we saw that the same levels of accounts receivable as opposed to sales returned in 2010. And in other companies, we did not see that kind of spike. So 2008 was a terrible year for all utilities nationally, and that's expected. But in 2010, we did not see a favorable comparison to their peers.
And we also looked into some construction data. The area in central to south Jersey, in the two counties where they primarily are most concentrated, have been especially hard hit with the housing recession. We looked at Reed construction data's 12 to 18 month look ahead, and we looked at the Atlantic City and Ocean City regions as a proxy for the region. And at 0.62 and 0.41, below one, it shows severe construction recession in those areas beyond the rest of the state. We also looked at the South Jersey Business Survey from the Philly Fed, and again, it shows that the business aspect of what's going on there, the commerce in that particular region, is especially hard hit.
Because of their investment in the non-regulated part, the EBITDA margins have been reduced dramatically. When we did the analysis at comps, you have AGL 27% EBITDA margins. You have companies like Atmos. You have Piemonte, or all of them trading with EBITDA margins of over 10%, whereas in the case of New Jersey Resources, it's just over 3%.
And there's also a dynamic population shift in that region. The fastest growing population dynamic or demographic in that region is the elderly, retired people. So the households are shrinking. You have a limited population space with income, steady income in that area. So that paired together, it seems to make sense on why the accounts receivable is rising.
In your sum of the parts valuation, you had regulated businesses at 14 times a price earnings multiple, and you had enterprise value to EBITDA at 11 times. Do you perceive that to be a regular, normal relationship? Would you typically perceive those ratios to be any different than they are in your valuation?
Sure. The way we came to each ratio was the 14 times valuation for the regulated segment is, first, it indicates slower growth because it is a regulated utility. So we assigned the 14 times as opposed to 15.3 times, which is the PE ratio from our comparable universe. That's also the average PE ratio for diversified utility companies, which are the largest, most regulated utilities. So what we want to do there is we want to get the comparable universe that simply just we can apply directly to a regulated segment of the business. To get our multiple of EV to EBITDA of 11 times for the unregulated segment, we took the average EV to EBITDA of 5 midstream storage companies. NJR has gas storage facilities in Pennsylvania, as well as 5 solar companies, since that's primarily what the unregulated business is all about. And that's where we reached our 11 times EV to EBITDA.
Of note, as you can see from the slide up here, we did run different scenarios to make sure that we're in the right ballpark. And even on our upside case, which is a lot more aggressive, we still come out at a share price that's lower than where the company is trading today.
Okay, can you tell me, you mentioned that the company is less leveraged than the competitors. Can you tell me what the optimum capital structure would be for this company?
Well, as a regulated utility, NJR is always going to have...
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No, I'm not talking.